Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, global real estate investment is on the rise and it is set to grow significantly next year and beyond. But we still have challenges like high borrowing costs, hybrid work trends and regional market dynamics. All of that persists. So let me give you a broad view on what the landscape looks like. I'm in conversation tonight with Andrew Dewey, who is Managing Director of Swindon Property. That is the commercial associate in sub-Saharan Africa of the big group Savills. Andrew, good evening to you and welcome. So global real estate investment forecast to grow. What are the key drivers behind the rebound?
Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on your show. So the key drivers would definitely be the drop in interest rates across the globe, in fact. So we've seen 2 basis points drops in Europe, the UK, and obviously we have ripple effects on that in the South African markets as well with a 50 basis point drop over the last quarter. That together with a surge in the office markets and a rebound of the office market with people now being driven to come back into the office post-COVID. And obviously, there's obviously micro effects on the different economies and the governments, et cetera, et cetera. But those would definitely be the main factors.
Are interest rates the prime driver here? How much of a real impact does this have on real estate as an attractive asset class? Or is it a combination of the factors that you've just mentioned?
I think there's a number of factors depending on the economy and depending on the location. But there's a significant correlation between your interest rates and obviously thereby your gearing and what you're able to acquire in terms of that gearing. So the biggest problem we face is the gap between seller expectations on cap rates and what they're looking to sell their property for versus obviously the buying market and what the financing model looks like from the buyer side.
So there's a fairly bullish prediction in terms of further recovery this year, but I just wonder to myself if the optimism is justified given the lingering global uncertainties. And I don't need to unpack the laundry list for you.
Look, it's always nice to be optimistic. And in our industry, volatility creates opportunity. So if it was a downward cycle or an upward cycle in the industry, in the property game, as long as there's movement, there's activity, which means there's trade. However, the institutional buyers, which take up a big chunk of, you know, for the US market, the institutional buyers are more than 80% of the market there. In South Africa, it's about 25%. Those institutional buyers have certain dynamics and certain criteria in order for them to decide on whether to invest in property as an asset class versus all the other opportunities and investment criteria they have.
Am I correct, Andrew Dewey, in saying that Europe is leading the recovery globally? And if that's the case, why is this region such a catalyst for global momentum?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, I think Europe has the lowest interest rates across the globe in the markets that we trade in. You know, just for clarity, our business is based in South Africa and we have a presence in sub-Saharan Africa. And through that, we represent Savills, which is our associate. Savills have 700 offices across the globe. Europe is where they have their largest presence, Europe and the US. So in the European markets, interest rates are sitting at between 2.75 and 3.4%. And you go into the UK, it's 4.75, and up to the US is 7.75. So definitely lower interest rates, more optimism. But in terms of the finer details, it will be hard for me to give you that guidance.
Well, let me pivot then to the tactility of all of this. And it's fair to say that commercial real estate is evolving very quicker. And I think if I was given a rand for every time someone this year told me that the future is in greener buildings, I would probably be able to buy one myself. Are we seeing this innovation towards sustainability picking up pace, particularly in South Africa?
I think it is. Look, obviously, it's very hard to transform a traditional building into a carbon neutral building or as green building. But what we're finding with new builds is that we're meeting those criteria. And one of the biggest driving factors is not just the local occupiers, or we call them occupiers, the tenants, but also the international clients. So all our big international clients are required to meet certain carbon neutral initiatives, and they are the ones from a from a demand perspective that are obviously now pushing that we also supply into Africa these greener buildings.
And just in terms of industrial property, which I think I heard you say is a standout performer, what is driving the outperformance in South Africa? And I'm assuming the entire argument would be predicated on regional offering and regional service delivery and infrastructure.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, obviously, service delivery is critical. We've seen the industrial market outperform the office and retail market post-COVID. It was the only asset class that really stood out, and there was security around around occupation levels as well. So the whole work from home concept, thinned out the office market aggressively, and it caused a massive surge in vacancy rates across the country. There's high operational costs with office and retail. In the industrial sector, there's less operational costs that are impacting the end product and the end rental rate that are being that's being charged to your industrial users. Obviously, it's also a factor of supply and demand. There was less stock in the market. There was a bit less big box warehousing available, and that afforded your landlords and your funds, you know, to be able to charge much higher in, rental rates as opposed to the other two markets.
Our lead story on the program tonight, Andrew, was the water crisis in Johannesburg. And against that backdrop, you make the point, and it's not the first time this point has been made, that Cape Town continues to outperform other metros like Johannesburg. Is there a particular secret to Cape Town's success? But perhaps more importantly, could that be replicated elsewhere, do you think?
Yeah, look, difficult for me to comment on the government's models and how infrastructure is maintained in the different provinces. But I do feel that infrastructural support is a key factor. We obviously had our droughts in Cape Town as well, and we also had a zero water day that reached us a few years back. Mm. And I think, you know, if you look at that together with the international interest that Cape Town has, obviously there's big occupiers that are coming into the country, there's big investment coming into the country. Those factors also have a driving effect on what our cap rates are, what we're able to trade property at here in Cape Town versus the rest of the country. Obviously, Joburg's still the biggest GDP producer for the country. I don't think that's ever going to change. So there's a lot more activity. Our office in Joburg outperforms the rest of our offices very easily. But in terms of value for money and capital growth, Cape Town still outperforms the rest of the market.
And that's where we're going to leave it. My appreciation to Andrew Dewey, Managing Director of Swindon Property. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. All the best.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.